Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be listening, however you may be making us part of your day. Thanks so much for joining us. Colin's off today. I'm in. Fortunate to be working with the talented Joy Taylor. Joy, how are you?
Good morning, Doug.
I love the sweater. I like the look.
Thanks.
Very clean, very classy. I'm fired up.
Everybody, the kids are back in school.
My kids are not back in school.
Oh, they aren't?
One is, two more after we go after Labor Day. So we got a little bit Indian summer down in Orange County. Pretty excited about it. Been hitting the waves quite heavily. Anyway, look, football season is back. My alma mater on FS1 tonight. And we'll give you a couple of ideas of things you need as a husband or even as a wife. You need to prepare for this weekend and really prepare for next weekend, knowing that football season is back. There are just moments to which you're like, listen, there are other things going on in the world, but you can't lock in because football is being played in your television set. Welcome in. A lot of stuff to get to. Let's start with the news of yesterday, which we continue to react to today. No, Aaron Donald is not signed yet. No, Khalil Mack is not signed or in Raiders camp yet or traded yet. Still yet to be seen. What has happened is Aaron Rodgers is inked the largest deal in the history of the National Football League. And over the next year or so, he's going to get $80 million in cash. $80 million, front-loaded in terms of money, signing bonus, guaranteed value is through the roof. I've told Colin, I've told Joy, I've told anybody who's listening where I'm sitting in this seat or on the couch that I believe Aaron Rodgers is the best thrower of football, the best quarterback I've ever seen play the position. And why I'll completely understand that if you have your guy, if you're a Montana guy and you want to go back to the 80s and early 90s, or if you're Tom Brady and the ability to consistently not just win the division, get deep in the playoffs, get to a Super Bowl, have Super Bowl wins, even have the greatest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl. If you're a Brady guy, that's fine. You can be a Brady guy. Brady has more rings. Brady has more accomplishments. I did not say, semantics do matter in this seat, I did not say that Brady is that Aaron Rodgers is the most accomplished quarterback in the history of the game. I think he's the best. And I think he's the best for the 21st and 22nd century. In terms of 2018, you have to be mobile. You have to be mobile within the pocket and occasionally manipulate the pocket, extend the pocket, and then you have to extend drives with your legs outside of the pocket, all the while trying to avoid taking on the big hit. And I understand you're like, look, he just broke his collarbone. Yes, but those are things that happen within the pocket. It's not like he's a Cam Newton trying to run over dudes, or he's, you know, Mike Vick trying to run around guys. He does scramble occasionally for a first down, but that's what he can do behind the line of scrimmage we have not seen done in such a complete form yet in the NFL. He's not Steve Young, yet he does have some of Steve Young's escapability. What's interesting, though, about this paycheck is that you will hear people say on this network, on other networks, well, you know, now he's got to win another Super Bowl. Because winning two Super Bowls somehow puts you in a different class, in a different category. And look, it's a decent conversation, but it's a trap that we fall into all the time. Did Dan Marino really need to win a Super Bowl to prove to you that he was awesome? Anybody who watched him, anybody who watched those teams that had no defense and no running game, he played for two of the all-time greatest coaches in the history of the league. He got to one Super Bowl and lost to the Niners in Santa Clara. One time. Didn't need one. And if the knock against him was, well, look, Dan Marino only got to the big game once. Aaron Rodgers only got in there once, and he's won. If the question is, can he come through in the clutch? Didn't he do it in Dallas a couple years ago? Heck, even in the wild card game against the Arizona Cardinals, the year before they won the Super Bowl, a game they lost. I mean, the perfect embodiment of Aaron Rodgers' career is he was incredible. 21 fourth quarter points, 21. And yet he was outshone in that game by Kurt Warner, 29 of 33. Yeah, Kurt Warner's numbers were sick. In other words, he had no defense. He can't play both sides of the football. If you want to tell me, hey, Peyton Manning won two Super Bowls and Aaron Rodgers has only been to one. Okay, Peyton Manning didn't play great in the Super Bowl they won. In the Super Bowl they lost, he didn't play particularly well. And the Super Bowl that he won in his last game as a pro football player, they were better off with the water boy offense than they would have been having Peyton Manning throw a football. He couldn't. That was a year in which Peyton Manning was benched for Brock Osweiler. That happened. He had 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and he was benched for Brock Osweiler. And in the playoffs, they said, you know, we'll take Peyton's head ahead of Brock Osweiler's arm. And they gambled and they won because they had an incredibly dynamic defense with remarkable special teams, quality kicking, and a brain, although not an arm, of Peyton Manning. You want to go Ben Roethlisberger's 1-2? That's fair. It should be noted that Ben Roethlisberger's first Super Bowl, he had the lowest passer rating in the history of the Super Bowl for a winning quarterback. How low was it? 25. The previous low was John Elway's first Super Bowl, which was in the 50s. So it was less than half that of the previous all-time low. Matter of fact, if you go back to that Detroit Super Bowl where Ben Roethlisberger won the Super Bowl, the best pass for the Pittsburgh Steelers was thrown by a wide receiver, Antoine Randall. So the idea that Aaron Rodgers, who we all think is great, right, and we know in watching him, he has incredible arm strength. He's obviously had the ability to make these Hail Mary throws. He's led comebacks. He's shown toughness. He's done it without a running game. Heck, his running back the past year was a wide receiver. He's done so in bad weather. He's done so following the lengthy and wide shadow of Brett Favre, who preceded him in Green Bay. He's done all of these things. And yet somehow, to cement him as one of the all-time greats, in some people's minds, he's got to do it again. Why? Has he won on the road in the playoffs? Sure. Has he led great comebacks? Sure. Has he shown the ability to fight through injury? Yes. Matter of fact, in Seattle a couple years ago, remember the Super Bowl that Seattle feels like they rightfully should have won because they didn't hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch? Seattle fans have forgotten that they should have lost the game to the Green Bay Packers, in which he was playing on one leg with a torn calf. He's played hurt. He's played in bad weather. He's played from behind. He's played without a good defense. He's played without a running game. And yet he still found a way to have the best pass to interception ratio in the history of the National Football League. Period. He doesn't turn it over. He extends the play. He extends drives. He has incredible arm strength and accuracy. He's the best back shoulder thrower, throwing guys open, that we've ever seen. And so if to you, you want to see him win one more, I'd like to see him win one more. Look, I'd like to see him play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I want the Super Bowl to give us what the NBA didn't. We never got Kobe versus LeBron. Didn't get it. And I know that Brady didn't play against Manning when Brady played against Manning. And I understand that Brady won't play against Rodgers technically. But don't you want to see it? Don't you? Right? Look, Tom Brady has shown also the ability to be clutch, but he's not as athletic as Aaron Rodgers. And though you have to credit him for the Super Bowl wins, part of the reason they lost those two Super Bowls to the New York Giants was it was the two times they made a move. Right? Force him off his spot. If you can get him off his spot, he is a completely different quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm some football guru or that I play in the National Football League or that I've broken down film after film after film, but I've watched enough to know that the kryptonite to Tom Brady's super armor is making him move off the spot. And the New York Giants were able to do that with their NASCAR pass rush two times over. It's one of the reasons that the Ravens had success against him in the playoffs. They had a prodigious pass rush. Aaron Rodgers, though comfortable as comfortable in the pocket, has the ability to do things outside of the pocket or move the pocket or manipulate the pocket that Tom Brady just doesn't. And oh yeah, by the way, there isn't anyone who's going to sit there and point to the Green Bay Packers coaching staff and put it in the same realm as what you have working with Bill Belichick and his crew in New England. No one does. A better run organization with better coaching staff, with a weaker division, or and in many instances, a weaker conference, And Brady, in many ways, has been fortunate. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, at times, has been unfortunate. Injuries. Heck, look, even bad luck in playing in Seattle. But this idea that in order to live up to this contract, in order to live up to the expectations of people like myself saying, he's the best I've ever seen play the quarterback position. And there have been far more credible minds in football say the exact same thing, that he's got to win a second one. Does he? I mean, even getting to a Super Bowl. I grew up a Charger fan. Stan Humphries went to a Super Bowl. Does that somehow elevate him above so many other quarterbacks that never got there? Chris Chandler got to a Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons. That, by the way, was when the Atlanta Falcons went to Super Bowl. Like, Chris Chandler, how do I know that name? Jake Delhomme. Remember Jake Delhomme, 6 interception? Jake Delhomme? Yes. Jake Delhomme led the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl. I'm not trying to diminish what the biggest sporting event in the United States is or means, but there's a lot of other factors that get into whether or not you get to, let alone win a Super Bowl. Whereas what you do in the regular season, what you do in the playoffs, what you do in times of strife, are you able to play hurt? Are you able to play from behind? Are you able to lead? Are you able to play through injury? Have you made miraculous comebacks, incredible throws, the play, consistently not turn the football over, which, by the way, puts your team in the best position to win. Ask anybody who watches sports. The number one thing which gives you a chance to win a game is not turning the football over. And no one's done it better in the history of the sport throwing a football than Aaron Rodgers. It's not just the plays he makes, the great plays he makes. It's the bad plays he doesn't make. So to you, if you want to see him get to a second one, I do too. But if you think a second one or a third one are the only things that keep him from somehow being anointed as the greatest ever, I give you Peyton's last Super Bowl win, to which he had carried very little responsibility in it. Ben Roethlisberger's Super Bowl. Heck, even Eli Manning, who has 2 Super Bowl wins. You realize in the last decade, the New York Giants have 4 playoff wins all in one season? That's it. I was listening. We had my radio show follows this one, Joy, 12 to 3 Pacific Coast time, 3 to 6 Eastern time on Fox Sports Radio. We did a show from Chargers camp. And part of what made me think of this is something Philip Rivers told us about Tom Brady, about plays that are made and how it changes the narrative. Take a listen.
Well, I laugh about the way we judge some things. Tom Brady, the year when the Seahawks didn't run it down there, and, right. You know, and they threw the interception.
Yeah, Seahawks shouldn't even been there because of the Packers.
But and so the Patriots won. So, and I do think Tom's arguably the best to ever play. But when they intercepted the ball, everybody said, Tom Brady, you know, he won his 5th or whatever. He is now the greatest quarterback to ever play. But if Seattle would have scored, he wouldn't have been. Yeah. He was on the sideline. He played the same game. You know, it just kills me sometimes. I think that, I mean, I laugh at it because I go, no, he still is one of the all-time greatest. Not whether or not the guy made a play or not on defense.
And there's Philip Rivers, a guy who hasn't been to a Super Bowl, only been to an AFC Championship game once. But if I go through the names of the Chris Chandlers, the Jake Delhommes, even the Brad Johnsons and Trent Dilfers that won a Super Bowl, would you rather have Philip Rivers or would you rather have those guys? The same argument is true in measuring up Aaron Rodgers with even the most accomplished of modern football, post-Niners Joe Montana football, in Tom Brady.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
New York Jets made a trade and an announcement all yesterday, all wrapped in one. Teddy Bridgewater is gone. The former Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback who had a terrible knee injury has reinvigorated his career and played well enough in the preseason to become the talk of the league in terms of what would his value be and could the Jets find a home for him, as Sam Darnold has lived up to and in many people's estimation exceeded the expectations in New York for what the USC quarterback could become in year one. So, in one fell swoop, Teddy Bridgewater sent for a 3rd-round pick to the New Orleans Saints, and Sam Bradford is named as the starting quarterback. What'd you think was going to happen, right? It's New York. It's the Jets. They're starved for attention, and they made the right pick. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they move mountains. And in and of itself, like if you look at the actual move, It was a terrible trade to get into the third slot, move 3 second-round picks and trade first-round picks to move up to potentially not get the guy you wanted, right? If you're going to move up that much, make sure you get the guy you wanted. But they're fortunate that Cleveland went with Baker Mayfield and that the Giants chose for the now, Saquon Barkley, and keep Eli Manning instead of drafting for the future. So they get a little fortunate and get Sam Darnold. And Darnold, as Colin has told you, as I told you, and both of us are also echoing people we talked to within the NFL, he was the best prospect of any of the quarterbacks. Best prospect. They're going to start him, which is one of those, they almost felt like they had to. Perception-wise, they had to. Not just with the trade, but also in the battle for New York. Here's something interesting in the battle for New York. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to show you a graphic in a second, but let's not cut to it just yet. If I had you close your eyes and say, and if you're driving, don't close your eyes. That would be bad. But if I had you just kind of daydream for a second and imagine, Giants and Jets, last 10 years, okay? Who's the better franchise? And I would say 10 people in 10, 100 people in 100, even a Jets fan, the most ardent Jets fan would be like, well, that ain't close. The Giants are better than the Jets, right? Of course, they won a Super Bowl. They did win a Super Bowl. Those are the only playoff games they've won in the last decade. Matter of fact, they have a better record, 81-79. Let's put the graphic up now. 81-79 to 75-85, which looks, you're 10 games below 500 if you're the Jets. The Giants are 2 games above 500. Truth is, over the last 10 years, they're 6 games better. That's less than a game better per year. The Giants have one more playoff appearance. They have the same number of playoff wins. Look, here's a stronger argument for how good the Jets were. Mark Sanchez was their quarterback, and they went to 2 AFC championship games. That did happen. Butt Fumble was their quarterback, and I like Mark. But we would not list, he will not, there will never be arguments or debates on any of our shows. Should Mark Sanchez be in the Hall of Fame? Where you will have those debates as to Eli Manning. The Jets are not as bad as perceived, but perception becomes reality, and the need in the second for the second team in the biggest city in the country to make a mark, you start your young guy. 3 games in 10 days is a lot. But I feel like the Jets jumped the gun twice here, right? They jumped the gun in trading Teddy Bridgewater. A third round pick is good value. His value should have been fourth or fifth round pick. Third round pick is good value. But if you wait a couple weeks and somebody important goes down, couldn't you have gotten a second or maybe even stolen a first-round pick for a Teddy Bridgewater? Maybe. The same is true with Darnold. You can start him right away, just like you could trade Teddy Bridgewater right away. But couldn't you have waited? He's playing behind what many people consider the worst offensive line in the sport, with the worst tight end group in the sport, with an average-at-best running back group, average-at-best wide receiving group. Average at best offensive coaching staff. You run the risk. I don't believe it's going to be another David Carr, of him being battered and bruised in just 1 year as a starting quarterback. And once you start him, you can't bench him. But this is what the Jets do when they're striving for attention in the nation's biggest city. They trade Teddy Bridgewater a couple weeks too early, and they start Sam Bradford a game or two too early.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Football season's here, which means more stink. Not just me, I do in fact stink. It's Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champion, Fox Sports NFL analyst, 2-time Pro Bowler, super handsome, has his own radio show, Schlereth and Evans, on The Fan in Denver. Stink, let's.
Well, I've got to say, I agree with you. I love super teams because you either love them or you hate them, but they're great. Like, I love Golden State. I love the fact KD went to Golden State. Makes me want to watch them.
It does. Right?
Either you're rooting for them or you're rooting against them. There's no middle ground there.
I was talking with a future NBA Hall of Famer, and he said to me, like, look, KD went there because he wanted what he thought was a fair shot at LeBron. And last 2 NBA finals, he's gotten a fair shot at LeBron, and by my estimation, he'd been the better player in the second half in the most important. Now, you might have thought that last year wasn't a fair fight because he didn't have Kyrie, but the year before, You know, he's got Kyrie, he's got Kevin Love, and they faced off, and that's what Kevin Durant wanted, to show how great he was, and he showed the world how great he was in tough, pressure-filled situations.
Now, I've got no problem. No, nobody cares if you're mediocre. Like, oh, they're a nice team. They're adorable. That's great. No, you're either great or, you know, I mean, we either love you or we hate you. Nobody cares about the adorable teams.
Aaron Rodgers, highest-paid quarterback, highest-paid player in the history of the league. Your reaction?
Good for him. Hey, he could have gotten more. Like, everybody says, oh, he should have taken less. Okay, I should have taken less. Great point. Like, come on, stop it. Well, Tom Brady, okay, when Mike McCarthy morphs into Bill Belichick and his coaching staff, and you guarantee me we're going to world championships every single season, then yeah, I'm in. He could have got $37 million. I mean, it doesn't matter what you pay the guy, but he's worth every penny.
But if I make the argument, Tim Duncan, Kevin Durant, Tom Brady, took less than they could have on some level, and they have 12 combined rings. Does this come back to haunt Aaron Rodgers? Because his argument should be like, hey, I haven't had a good enough team around me to show how great I am, and yet taking more money, doesn't that limit how many other guys eventually they can put around him?
You know what? That's the team's responsibility. That's the organization's responsibility. Draft well, develop well, and put great players around Aaron Rodgers. Like that's to me, that's their responsibility. Develop those guys. Aaron is the best thrower of the football that I have ever watched, best off-platform thrower of the football that I've ever watched. And, you know, he makes up for a multitude of sins, man. He covers warts. He's a great, we all know how great he is, but I don't think it's his responsibility to take less than Kirk Cousins. I don't think it's his responsibility to do that for his organization.
Okay, how about this? There are some that believe, many that believe, that he's got to win another Super Bowl to be put on that pedestal, on that Manning, Elway, Brady, Montana,
right.
The pedestal.
Yeah,
you agree?
Yeah. So if you want to talk about world championships and all those things, yeah. I mean, Marino is—he's still one of the greatest I've ever watched play. Jim Kelly is still one of the greatest I've ever watched play. They're not in the conversation when it's the greatest of all time because they just don't have enough Super Bowl hardware. Right, they don't have enough wins.
But you having won and considering the consistency by which he's won, as you know, like turning the football over is the easiest way to lose a football game, and he has the greatest pass to interception ratio in the history of the league. Like, I started the show thinking, like, listen, I get for people that they think he's got to win a second one, but look, you're the reason that John Elway helicoptered right on that during the first Super Bowl.
That's a great point. So I single-handedly won Super Bowl 32.
Correct.
Right.
But Elway wasn't good when they finally won a Super Bowl. He actually wasn't peak Elway. When he was peak Elway, it was when he took average teams and took them to a Super Bowl when they got blown out. So in reality, as a former great football player who was part of three Super Bowl winning teams, does he actually have to win another one for football people, not us, people to view him on that level?
No. For football people, you will say, you ask any football guy and they'll tell you, oh yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. Well, Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Yeah, because you start putting championships together and all those things. Even if he wins another championship, Brady's been in the Super Bowl eight times. He's won five of them, you know? I mean, you're not getting in that conversation. It's like the guy that argues that Joe Montana is the best that's ever played because he's 4-0 in Super Bowls. Well, isn't it better to get there eight times than four times? Like, isn't it better to win five than four? I mean, I don't understand that argument. So you're never going to win that argument. I love how we like to write the legacy of a guy before he's done retired. Like, Aaron Rodgers is 34 years old. We're like, his legacy is this. You're like, no, he's still got a long time to play, but I just don't know that you'll ever get into that, you know. Are you going to go to the next six straight Super Bowls in a row? No, you're not.
We're going to continue to be joined by three-time Super Bowl champion, all-around good guy, and NFL on Fox analyst Mark Schlereth, who you will hear on the call on Fox of Seattle versus Denver, week one of the season. Of course, Mark won two Super Bowls as a lineman with the Denver Broncos, one with the Washington Redskins. I want to ask you about that story because you take credit for John Elway's first Super Bowl win when he helicoptered into the end zone.
Sure.
That was John Elway who helicoptered in the end zone.
Well, a 17-17 ball game, the Denver Broncos driving down the football field, right? Get down to a third and six from about the 12-yard line. So Elway, here's what you got to know. Elway walks in the huddle, calls a play. It's something like, double wing right, wide left, two jet, all go Z shallow cross or some crap like that, right? So we get ready. Blue 80, set hot, right? He drops back to pass, boom. pushes to the right, scrambles out there, jumps over the line of scrimmage. You see it, gets hit by three Packer defenders, does the helicopter. Referee's like, first down, you know? And we're rolling over there like, oh, my God, this guy's giving it up. He's 37 at the time, right? He's giving it up for us. There's no way we can lose this game. And I'm picking him up, you know, and we're coming back to the huddle. And at that point, I kind of flush, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just single-handedly won the Super Bowl. Because if I don't miss my block, he's never flushed out of the pocket. He was, like, Elway's having a horrible game. Like, look at his passer rating. It was all – we kick a field goal, we probably lose by four, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
there's number four on the other sideline is pretty good.
Yeah, single-handedly won that game. So, I feel pretty good about my career.
Awesome. They forgot to hand you the MVP trophy on that one. But, but listen, maybe it'll come back around to you.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about Sam Darnold starting with the New York Jets. Jets choose to trade Teddy Bridgewater yesterday to get a third-round pick from New Orleans in return. So Darnold is the guy. They name him the guy, and he's playing behind a makeshift offensive line. Good idea, bad idea?
Well, I think it's a good idea. They understand what they have in Darnold, and they understand not only does he get it? Does he have football acumen? You know, he's a blue-collar guy, hard-working guy, unbelievable release, but he's gotten to the point where he's ready to enter the fray. Like, there's a lot of guys that get to this point and you're like, he's not ready yet. Well, he's ready from a maturity standpoint. He's earned the respect of the veteran players. They all like him. He's worked exceptionally hard. He's got great pocket awareness, great pocket presence. You know, gets the ball out of his hand. Will he have some growing pains? Of course, he's a young player, but they're like, he's entry level ready to go. Like, let's let him go.
Look, I love him too. And look, I know people forget the David Carr situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
David Carr wasn't a great quarterback draft. Joey Harrington was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
It was an expansion team. Tony Boselli was supposed to be the left tackle. They got him from the Jaguars, who didn't protect him. And Boselli never plays for the Texans. So it was a terrible offensive line. But that forever hindered David Carr's career. That's my only concern with Darnold.
Sure.
I'm with you. Everything about Darnold himself, I'm concerned about the supporting cast.
I understand that. Here's one thing. I'm good buddies. Rick Dennison was a coach at the Broncos when I was there. He was our special teams coach. Went on to coach offensive line after Alex Gibbs retired. And he's a phenomenal coach. My former teammate Dave Diaz-Infante is his assistant with the Jets. They're bringing back that Denver Broncos zone system. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have the zone system. You're going to have the play action that comes off of that. You're going to have the naked boot keep stuff that comes off of that. Like, they will do a good job of understanding that they have to take pressure off of him by running the ball, maintaining, being in front of the chains and maintaining those things. So I think that from a coaching standpoint, you can cover up and you can mask a lot of things that are a problem as long as you're a coach that understands these are things we have a problem with. There's a lot of coaches that don't look at it that way. Like, hey, it's third down and, 11 plus, and we're going to let you guys drop back in a 7-step drop, and you better figure it out. Well, guess what? You're going to get your quarterback hurt. They're not going to do that with him. They are going to make sure that they take the pressure off of him. They're not going to let him drop back and just get lambasted. That's a coaching staff that understands this is a growing process. But the best way to compete with the Patriots when Brady starts to decline, if he ever does, is to have your guy ready, your draft pick ready.
No, and they have all that cap room for next year. Likelihood of another high first-round pick, although they trade away their second-round pick. Stink, you have your own radio show in Denver. I got to ask you, Case Keenum, it wasn't a great free agency class. They didn't get Cousins.
Right.
They end up getting – can he play?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's picked up right where he left off. He's been great in third downs, and he is, like, understanding the game, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, being very accurate. He does it all.
But arm strength, and he's little.
He's small. He's got great feet in the pocket. He moves in the pocket. He creates windows for himself. I think the biggest thing, Doug, is when you have a domineering guy like Peyton Manning, whether it's in Indy or whether it's in Denver, and a guy that basically is large and in charge, and you lose that guy, you know what nobody's ready to do is step up and take a leadership role. There's such a leadership vacuum everybody just goes, oh, Peyton's our guy. I don't have to do anything. So nobody truly develops. And the culture of that organization was everybody's just kind of looking around at each other going, what are we going to do? And it lasted for 2 years because they didn't have a quarterback to take the reins. Like, they didn't have anybody that they believed in. They, you know, certainly Trevor Siemian worked hard and played hard, and you know, but he wasn't ready to be that leader. And I mean, Paxton Lynch isn't. So the one thing that, Case Keenum has done that nobody else has been able to do, he's come in there and been in charge. I'm the guy. And from day one, he has earned their respect, and he has done that. And so there's a whole different feeling about that offense that permeates the whole team, because now the defense looks at him and go, we can actually compete.
Yeah.
So our effort is not going to be wasted, and we don't have to make every single play on a football field for us to be able to compete.
All right, look, it's going to be fascinating. Of course, you know, we'll see what direction they're going in against a team in Seattle who, of course, you know, both have gone to Super Bowls, both have won Super Bowls, and both are kind of struggling with the do we rebuild or do we reload. Of course, you'll see Mark Schlereth on the call of that game. Real quick, do you think Dez Bryant plays in the NFL this season?
Yes, absolutely.
How come Jacksonville hasn't called? How come New England hasn't called?
I think you always wait for your young guys to develop. If they don't develop after week one, then you start making phone calls, because then you don't have to fully guarantee a contract. But I think everybody is, it's like signing of Adam Jones in Denver. Why didn't anybody else sign him? Well, because you know he can play. So we got time. Let's see if any of our young guys can actually play.
Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion. You'll see him on all of our shows. Of course, hear him NFL on Fox and his own show in Denver. Thanks so much, Sting.
You got it, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Who is the worst starting quarterback week one in the National Football League? Look, we can sit here and argue Brady or Rodgers. Maybe you want to throw Breeze into the mix because of historically he's put up ridiculous numbers. Last year a little bit down. You might want to put, you know, Carson Wentz when he's back healthy, if he's back healthy. You might even throw in others like a Deshaun Watson who set the world on fire only for a couple weeks. There are other names. But I think it's actually more interesting who the 10 worst starting quarterbacks are week one in the National Football League. Here's what we did. We don't have a body of work on rookies. We chose to not include them. Be too easy to put Josh Allen one, considering he's in Buffalo, he wasn't expected to start, and they're probably going to thrust him into duties with the injury to A.J. McCarron. So we took rookies out of it. Got to have a body of work. Here's number 10.
Number 10.
Dak Prescott. I heard Colin earlier this week, the ultimate stabilizer, right? They weren't that stable last year when they didn't have Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott's fine. Remember, he took over an absolute Corvette that had the best offensive line, a tremendous running game, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, and they were really good his first year. But then when he was named the full-time starter and Tony Romo went to the booth and Dez Bryant aged and Jason Witten was so slow it looked like he was dragging a dead body and Ezekiel Elliott was suspended. Last year, 9-7, 62.9 completion percentage, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 86.6 passer rating, had 16 giveaways, tied for 7th most in the NFL. Some of it's based upon expectations. Some of it's based upon the idea they don't have a very good wide receiving core. Put Dak Prescott number 10.
Number 9.
Marcus Mariota. I know he won the Heisman Trophy, and if you interview him, you want him to run for senator. You just do. And I get it. They had a comeback win in the playoffs against the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe a better question is, who hasn't had a comeback win against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs? Mariota's 20-22 as starting quarterback, threw more interceptions than touchdowns last season. In three seasons, his passer rating is 25th in the NFL during that span. 25th. You do the math. There's 32 teams, 25th is not great. They've tried to change things. They fired their coach all to try and fix Marcus Mariota. If he needs to be fixed, that means he's broken. He's number 9.
Number 8.
Case Keenum. Mark Schlereth sat right here and said he can play. I do think he can play as a backup. As a full-time starter, gets exposed. We saw it last year in the NFC Championship game. There are just throws that he can't make. Keenum had 3 turnovers, 2 picks, 1 fumble in that 38-7 loss to the Eagles, and the Vikings had better talent. They had dudes. He signed, part of this is expectations. 2-year, $36 million deal with the Broncos in March. He's 9-15 as a starting quarterback prior to the 2017 season. Remember, he wasn't a starting quarterback for bad teams. He was starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. That's a playoff roster. He was a starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. That's a playoff roster. He's a really, really good backup. He's a great story. He is not a great quarterback.
Number 7.
Tyrod Taylor might not have made this list. Tyrod Taylor, on the other hand, that's a joke. I know he led the Bills to the playoffs last year, but like Marcus Mariota, the only reason the Bills and the Titans got to the playoffs is the Chargers didn't have a field goal kicker to start the season. The Ravens completely choked. Deshaun Watson got hurt. Like, go through all the injuries and dysfunction within the AFC, and that's the reason that the Bills got to the playoffs. Hell, Andy Dalton helped get the Bills to the playoffs. That's why so many funded his charity from Buffalo. 3 seasons as a starter, he's never thrown more than 20 touchdown passes. He's fine. 202 yards per game since 2015. 200 yards a game passing is not elite quarterback stuff. Look, he's going to hold this thing together in Cleveland, get the ball out to his wide receivers, and eventually be replaced by Baker Mayfield. He's somewhere in between starter and backup and seems to be a great guy and a great story and a good leader for a dysfunctional bunch in Cleveland. But there's a reason that he's not in Baltimore and not in Buffalo anymore, and that he's in Cleveland, one of the bottom 10 in the National Football League.
Number 6.
Eli Manning. I'm not talking Eli Manning historically through his career. I'm talking Eli Manning now at 37 years old. They were 3-13 last year. He got benched for Geno Smith. Man, he got benched for Geno Smith. And he got benched for Geno Smith.
That wasn't his fault.
He got benched for Geno Smith. 169 giveaways since 2010. Most in the NFL. The next closest is Phillip Rivers, and he's got him by 20. Led the NFL in interceptions 3 times over. Best way to get yourself beat is to lose the turnover battle, and Eli Manning makes a habit of it. I'm not talking prime or playoff Eli Manning. I'm talking regular season 37-year-old Eli Manning. Number 6.
Number 5.
Blake Bortles. They had the ball with 59 seconds to go and the lead in New England, and they took a knee. Why? Because Jacksonville knows what we all know. He's better than he used to be, but he still's not good. 21-40 as starting quarterback, 64 interceptions since 2014. He had the number 2 defense in football last season. They didn't believe in him. Why should we believe in him? Blake Bortles is better, but they probably should have traded for Eli last year and gotten marginally better. They might have gotten to a Super Bowl.
Number 4.
Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill has 2 4,000-yard seasons. Okay, but since his rookie year, his passer rating is 31st in the NFL. Jay Cutler, by the way, now retired and a reality show star. And I mean reality show star, right? Jay Cutler, much better. You feel much better with his surly technique, surly attitude as a reality show star than you do back in the NFL. Anyway, his passer rating is lower than Jay Cutler's. Dolphin fans were actually relieved when Jay Cutler replaced him last year when Ryan Tannehill had a torn ACL. I know 2 years ago he set the world afire with 27 touchdowns and like 10 interceptions. They're putting a lot of faith in him now that they've stripped him down of Jarvis Landry. Not buying it, and coming off an ACL that he missed an entire season. We'll put Ryan Tannehill as number 4.
Number 3.
Another backup who went to Harvard. Are you aware that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard? Yeah, I do. Oh, and Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. These are the 2 most overtold stories in all of the National Football League. 35 years old, a below 60% completion percentage since 2005. He's a great backup, and he can fill in. He had the 1 year with the Jets, and then he held out for big money. He does have a fantastic beard and mustache combo, and he went to Harvard. Outside of that, dude, he doesn't have much arm. Not much arm. And he's played for 7 different teams for a reason.
Number 2.
Mitch Trubisky. We don't have a lot to work with. He didn't have a lot to work with last year, but he was drafted and played for a quarterback guru. And, he passed for 182.8 yards per game last season. That's the 2nd fewest in the NFL. The only one with less was Brett Hundley, who didn't win the backup job with the Green Bay Packers. That's why they traded him to Seattle. In 12 games, he threw 7 touchdown passes. He was great at handing the ball off. And that's the skill you need least in the National Football League. We don't have a ton of data to work with, but so far the data is not good. Not a lot of confidence in Chicago. They made the right call trading up. for Mitch Trubisky.
Number one.
And the worst starting quarterback in the National Football League, per our group, per me personally. I'm taking ownership of it. Some of it's based upon expectations. He's the Super Bowl MVP. He had 1 year, 29 touchdowns, two interceptions. But boy, Nick Foles does not look good. And he's regressing towards the mean, maybe even past the mean so far in the preseason. Great guy, great story, out of football, didn't want to be traded because he wants to be the backup for a reason. That's what he is. Huge expectations because of how well he played in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. But people forget he was a mess when he was first named starting quarterback last year with the Eagles. It was not good. You go back to the disaster at the end of the run with the Rams and how he's looked in the preseason. Out of football for a reason. 69.0 passer rating over the last three seasons. In three regular season starts last year, before the playoffs, where he played better, didn't play well against Atlanta, played better, obviously, really good against Minnesota and great in the Super Bowl. A 54% completion percentage. 54%. That's like Blutarski level in the National Football League. Nick Foles, your 32nd best or best bad starter in the National Football League.